If God knows what we need before we ask, what's the point of prayer? Here's Skip Heitzik with an answer.
Have you ever heard that stated by people? I have. I've heard people say, well, if Jesus said your Heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask Him, then why should we ask Him? Why should we pray about anything if God already has sovereignty and is omniscient and knows what we need before we ask Him? Why bother praying? That's a very dim view of prayer. His prayer is a whole lot more than giving God a wish list. Imagine a parent and a child who had a relationship, something like this. They never saw each other. They never communicated except once a year. The child gave mom and dad a Christmas list. You know, every parent loves when a child just phones home, just calls to talk, just let's have lunch, let's just hang out. How are you doing? There's a relationship there.
Make the connection.
Seen a road sign advertising palm readers? Or what about a celebrity on TV inviting you to call in to talk to a psychic and find out about your future? There are even entire television series dedicated to people trying to get in touch with the supernatural to find out what tomorrow holds. But the Bible is clear. We are to stay well away from them. If we want to know the future, there's one place we can go. And today in The Connection, Skip Heitzik reveals an important side of God, His omniscience, with his series, The Biography of God. This encouraging series is unfolding the mysteries and beauty of God as revealed in the Bible. So you'll want to listen closely to today's message. But first, would you like to take part in getting Pastor Skip's teaching to people around the world? Well, you can. We have many Connection listeners just like you who help take the Connection to every corner of the globe. And you can be part of that. It's easy to do when you become a Global Connector. Global Connectors commit to a donation of $25 or more each month. Learn more and join in today at skipheitzik.com. And just click on the Donate tab to begin. You know, we all like our privacy, but to be honest, when it comes to God, we have none. Find out why that's not a bad thing when we join Pastor Skip for part two of this Connection teaching, The God Who Knows It All.
And make the connection.
The focus of our teaching today is Psalm 139, so if you have a Bible or a Bible app, I hope you'll turn there as we begin. Now, here's Skip Heitzik.
Let's get a little more in depth. In verse 2, David further personalizes it, and this is God's knowledge studied. Now, something I didn't point out yet, in the pronouns that he uses to speak about God, you have searched me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand. In the Hebrew grammar, it's put in the emphatic position. As if David is saying, this is an attribute nobody else has. It is unique to you. Only you have all this knowledge. Now, when I was a kid, I swore my mom had all this knowledge. Or that God had been talking to my mom about me because I couldn't believe how much she knew about me. I tried to hide stuff from her. She heard me whisper. She knew where I was when I thought she didn't. That's just an insightful mother. That's different from this. David realizes God uniquely has omniscience. Notice, you know my sitting down and my rising up. God is aware of the slightest movement you make. And he's interested in the slightest movements you make. That might come as a surprise to you. On one hand, yes, you believe God knows that, but you think, well, does God really care? Okay, now watch this. Look at verse 17. How precious, notice that, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. Have you ever had somebody say to you, maybe at church this morning, hey, good to see you. I've been thinking about you a lot lately. God would say that to you this morning. I've been thinking about you a lot. How precious are your thoughts? There are 6.7 billion people right now living on our earth. God is aware of every one of their movements, motions, time they get up, time they sit down or lay down to rest, and he's interested in each one. Well, let's put it personally. God saw you yesterday when you were worshiping him all alone in that room or in your car. God heard those encouraging words you gave to that worker or family member. Or think of it this way. God saw you yell at your wife this morning. God heard what you said at the gym to that guy or gal this week. Everything. You hide nothing from him. Proverbs 5, the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. I heard about a preacher who had a CB radio, loved this thing, loved to listen to the truckers as they went through town. And a trucker was going through town trying to get a hold of a prostitute in that town that he knew about and was unsuccessful. And the trucker said, well, I'm sorry you couldn't hear me. I'll see you next time I come through. The preacher got on the radio and said, she may not have heard you, but God did. There was a long silence. Finally, the truck driver said, man, I knew this CB radio had good range, but I didn't know it was that good. As if it beamed all the way to heaven. Doesn't need to. God was there. Preacher was right. God heard it all. David continues here, studying God's omniscience. You understand my thoughts afar off. Or better translated, God, you know what I think before I even think it. Before those electrical and chemical signals were transmitted at the synapse of the neuron, you knew it. Ever had a weird thought come into your mind? Where'd that thought come from? God knows. He's probably the only one that does. What this means to us is this. God knows what you really feel. Not just what you say. God knows what you really feel. God knows what you really believe about him, what your real worldview is. God knows where you stand, what your real opinions are. Now look at verse 3, all the way through verse 5. You comprehend my path and my lying down. These are opposites in Hebrew. One is a place you walk on, other is a place you lay down. These opposites are described. You're acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You've hedged me behind and before. Again, two opposites are described. And you have laid your hand on me. Now, the idea of this construction in verses 3 through 5 expresses completeness, and it could be translated at all times or in every moment. God's knowledge of me personally is not just every movement, not just every motive, but at all times of the day, 24/7. He doesn't take a nap. He doesn't take a vacation. He's never caught unaware. He knows it at all times. So God knows the past and the present, but he also knows the future. And this is important because it's the basis of all predictive prophecy. You know, sometimes we go through the Bible and go, I'm amazed. There's so many prophecies given where God, through a prophet, predicts an event that will happen 100, 200, 1,000 years before it happens. How's that possible? Well, once you understand, at least in part, agree with this attribute of God, he's omniscient, then you go, I get it. Any God that can be said to know it all must certainly then know the future and can call it into existence. And because this is true, God can announce 150 years before the man was even born that Cyrus, by name, written in Isaiah chapter 45, verses 1 through 3, will come and deliver the Jews after their Babylonian captivity. He wasn't even born for 150 years when that was written. That is why Daniel can predict the succession of world-governing kingdoms from Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, to Rome before it ever happened. That's how Zechariah in chapter 9 can say the Messiah will enter Jerusalem on a donkey. That's why the Bible can announce there's going to be a rapture and a tribulation and a millennial kingdom and a judgment seat of Christ and judgment seat, the great white throne, and the eternal state of the new heaven and new earth way before it ever happens. God knows the future simply because God controls the future. So this whole idea that God doesn't know all things is a lie. There's a teaching called open theism or finite theism that God doesn't know all things that I mentioned. Okay, here's a verse that flies right into the face of that. Listen to this. Ephesians 1:11. God works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. There you have two things enmeshed, the sovereignty of God, the omniscience of God, brought together in a nutshell. God knows the future because God controls the future, and everything's done accordingly. Well, I want to end by what I think is the most important part, and that is verse 5 and 6. This is not God's knowledge stated or even studied, but surrendered to. It's the best part. Verse 5. You have hedged me behind and before, and you laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. I will tell you that there's a number of commentators and even Bible translators that look at verse 5 and they see it as sort of a nice, sweet, God nestling his children. They picture the idea and even translate it that here we are held by God and God is surrounding us on all sides, nicely nestled. I don't necessarily think that's the meaning. I agree with the Bible knowledge commentary that says these first six verses describe a process. David coming to grips with the God who knows everything about him in verse 5 would indicate that he admits he has trouble with this doctrine at first. As if to say, well, God, if you know everything, that means I'm hedged in. I'm trapped. I'm a prisoner of fate. You're in charge. You know the future. So I feel sort of like trapped by your sovereign omniscience. Have you ever heard that stated by people? I have. I've heard people say, well, if Jesus said your heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask him, then why should we ask him? Why should we pray about anything if God already has sovereignty and is omniscient and knows what we need before we ask him? Why bother praying? That's a very dim view of prayer. Prayer is a whole lot more than giving God a wish list. Imagine a parent and a child who had a relationship, something like this. They never saw each other. They never communicated except once a year. The child gave mom and dad a Christmas list. You know, every parent loves when a child just phones home, just calls to talk, just let's have lunch, let's just hang out. How are you doing? There's a relationship there. And so it could be that in verse 5, David is working his way through that, but rather than feeling that he's a prisoner of fate, in verse 6 and in other verses, he's a worshiper of the Father. For he says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I'll retranslate that. This is the NSV, the New Skip Version. Ready? Wow! Wow! That's his reaction and response to what he discovers about God. Wow! This is like fuse blowing. If I think about it too long, I'll blow a fuse. It's too high. I cannot attain it. But then look at the end. Look at verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. That's a prayer. He's inviting God to know more, even though that's not possible. Try me and know my anxieties. See if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. God, I don't get it. I can't wrap my mind around it. I'll blow a fuse trying to figure this out. So I just surrender to it. Search me, know me, lead me, direct me. That's where we ought to leave off in our dealing with God. I'm going to tell you something. You may want to write it down. I wrote it down just to remember it in summing up this section. This is what it leads me to. Since God's ability transcends my reality, it's best for me to bow at his immensity. Now, let me break that down. God's ability is always greater than your reality. If you think you're going to go to some theological school or school of ministry or get a PhD in something and walk out holding the diploma and say, I know everything there is to know about God, then you're dumber than we thought. It is impossible. You will have to come to a point where you say, I've reached a saturation point. I've reached a limit. I don't completely get it. There's a mystery to our faith that is precious. And what do you do at that point? You leave off. God's ability is greater than my reality, so the best thing is to bow before his immensity. God is always greater than our present knowledge of him. See, if God was small enough for your brain, he wouldn't be big enough for your needs. There's an element that makes God, God. And if you understood all there is about God, you'd be God. And this is one of those attributes that is so God about God. He knows everything. And David says, search me, know me, test me, lead me. It ends in worship. That's where it should end with us. I want to leave you with three things this morning in summing this up. I want you to personalize this. Since God knows everything, God knows the worst about us. Now follow me here, don't lose me. In any human relationship, or most human relationships, there is a fear that two people have in getting to know each other. The fear is that when that person really knows who I really am, they'll reject me. That's why we put on our best face and we act so nice as to win them over. And hopefully after a period of time, that'll overshadow what they'll really find out about me when the skeleton tumbles out of the closet. But if you live your relationship like that, you'll never be free to be real. So you'll never know if you're really loved for who you are or not. That's a fear people have. Now listen, God knows the worst about you and loves you anyway. I hope that's as liberating to you as it is to me. It's liberating. Psalm 103, God knows our frame and remembers that we're but dust. What expectations would anybody have from dust? I expect a lot out of this dirt. This is quality dust. God knows you and he knows me. He knows the worst about us because he's all-knowing and he loves you anyway. That's number one. Number two, since God knows everything, God knows the best about us. God knows the best about us. Sometimes you do your best and it goes unnoticed, or you do your best and you fail. And when you fail doing your best, others may see it and they don't get the whole picture. They don't understand the motive and they criticize you and they say this and that about you. God knows the whole truth, knows the best about you. And Peter was content with that because he failed Jesus. And after the resurrection, remember the story, John 21, Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Peter goes, yeah. Again, Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Uh-huh. Third time, Peter, do you love me? Remember what he said? Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you. That's where he left it. You know my heart. You know the best of my heart. 1 John tells us, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows all things. So since God knows everything, he knows the worst about you, loves you anyway. God knows the best about you, knows what's really deep inside your heart. Here's the third and final thing. To me, this is the best. Since God knows everything, he knows what he's going to make you into. You're not done yet. You're still in the oven. You're still in process. God sees your imperfections, but he also sees the finished product. The Bible uses a beautiful word for this, for we are his workmanship. You're a work of art. All you see is the blob on the canvas. The artist sees the finished work. And that's where he's taking you. This is probably no scene in no better place than in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Now, you all know Romans 8, 28, right? Show of hands. Romans 8, 28. Ever heard that verse? Memorize that verse? God works all things together, etc. It's unfortunate that we have memorized that to the exclusion of the very next verse. Because listen to this truth. Verse 29 of Romans 8. For those that God foreknew or knew about in advance, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Now let me tell you something. You're not yet glorified. Neither am I. Ask my wife. But God is so sure that one day I will be glorified that he writes about it like it's a done deal. Because he knows everything. And knowing everything, he knows the worst about me, the best about me, and he knows where he's going to take me. I love that. There's a bumper sticker. I'm going to say it and you'll finish it. It says, Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. That doesn't mean you put that on your car and go 90 miles an hour. But it is true. We're in process. God knows where he's taking us. So, Father, we bow before your immensity because your ability is so much greater than our reality. We echo what Paul said. Oh, the depths of the riches of both the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Lord, it is true, but we don't completely understand how it is you can be so loving and compassionate with a plan of saving us as imperfect as we are and knowing what you know all about us. But we just say, wow, search us, know us, test us, and lead us. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, God knows everything about us, including the worst, and it doesn't change how he views us at all. As Skip reminded us, he sees a work of art. Isn't that some great encouragement today? That's where we'll finish this teaching, The God Who Knows It All. This is The Connection with Skip Heitzik, and today's message is just one part of the biography of God. This series digs into Scripture to help us know and understand our great God. And we hope you'll order a copy for your personal audio library today. We've bundled all 14 teachings together in an audio CD package for just $62. And we do have today's teaching available as an individual audio CD as well. Learn more and order today from skipheitzik.com or when you call 1-800-922-1888. So how do we interact with the culture we live in but still make a huge impact for Christ? Find out with this month's Connection resource.
God is on the throne. Do you doubt this truth? Has it become stale to you? Consider the Old Testament book of Daniel, which contains some of the most amazing prophecies in the Bible. Not only did these prophecies predict events that happened thousands of years ago, they also laid out places and events that are still to come. These incredibly specific prophecies paint the picture of a God who is intimately involved in the little details of history and your life as well. That's why this month, The Connection is offering you an MP3 player preloaded with all 24 messages of I Dare You, a series through the book of Daniel with Pastor Skip Heitzik. The MP3 player, which also comes with earbuds and a charger, is yours today for just $35 when you visit skipheisick.com or call 1-800-922-1888. Dare to be like Daniel, who lived radically in the light of the truth that God is and always will be on the throne.
while SkipHeitzig.com is packed with incredible resources to encourage you in your daily walk. You can purchase all of Skip's books there, including his very popular You Can Understand the Book of Revelation. And we also have a clearance and sales section in the store, so be sure to stop by today. That's at SkipHeitzig.com.
And make the connection.
Where is God? Is he in heaven or somewhere here on earth? The answer may surprise you, so join us Monday here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.